Well, fellas, the train keeps a rolling, and it's named LeGarrette Blount.
Is it going to roll right into MetLife?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Through the Rockies, up through the Rockies, and then back?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Broncos in a minute, but I want to talk about what happened on Saturday. I mean, I think this transformation into a running team is nothing short of remarkable. It's not just that the Patriots are running the ball well. They're breaking records. I mean, they're mauling other teams. It's remarkable, in my opinion.
It's also necessary, because the passing game doesn't have a lot going on right now. We've been a month plus here where it's just Julian Edelman. Basically, no one else. You know, Shane Breen's had some chances, didn't really do it. You know, Amendola had one big play the other day, but couldn't really finish the big play. And so you've had to run the ball and give them credit. The offensive line and LeGarrette Blount. You know, I know he's having a lot of fun. He's selling T-shirts, blunt force trauma, and everything's going. But it's necessary. They wouldn't be winning without that running game.
Freddie, the part of it that I like is that teams now know the Patriots are going to go into games running the football. It's not a gimmick anymore. It's not spreading it out like they usually do. It's not trying to hit them with a 3rd-and-8 draw and seeing if you can catch anybody off guard. They know Blount has come. When he's in the game, they know he's getting the ball, and the Patriots are running the ball 40, 45 times a game for well over 5 yards a carry. Yep. There's nothing fluky about that. That's just good old-fashioned football. That's what they did, you know, the early part of the decade when they won Super Bowls. Now, if they can keep that going, they have played, you know, against a couple of sketchy defenses in Buffalo and Indianapolis in terms of stopping the run. Be a little tougher in Denver, but I think you're right about Blount. It's unbelievably impressive against these defenses that know he's coming. He's still successful.
And I think this goes back to maybe the Miami game when Logan Mankins really took offense at a few people in the media saying that the Patriots were a finesse team. And I think from that point on, they said, screw that. You know, a lot of it is necessity. I agree with that. But, you know, the offensive line really took it on themselves to show people we are the tougher team.
And they have been opening holes. It's not like Blount's just create, you know, the big bruising back is creating the runs. He's had a lot of runs where he just, boom, he's through and there's no one touching him. And they are creating holes. And he has finished them. That's the other thing. You know, it's one thing to average, you know, 4 yards a carry, whatever. But when you hit that dagger, that 70-yard run that just ends, and I thought the visual from this game was the rear view, Blount pops through and Mankins just puts his hand in. It was over. He knew that he was going to finish that run and that was such a big play for them. It really is impressive. Now, the one thing I will say, I'd like to see it be a little less impressive. And what I mean by that is I'd like to see him be able to throw a little bit.
Well, I want to get back to the Mankins comment that you made, too, because I think that he was saying that as much to us as he was to his own coaching staff. I think they really wanted, the offensive line really wanted the burden to be placed on their shoulders. And I think Mankins is the spokesman for that group. He's the one that's been here the longest. He's the captain. He's the best player. And I think that he was making a statement right there to Josh McDaniels. And you heard it again post-game Saturday night. After the Colts game, when he's talking about when we run the football and they keep calling the runs, we have to make sure that we're successful so they keep calling them. They want to run the ball 45 times a game. All linemen do. But the Patriots offensive linemen right now are making Josh McDaniels look good by continuing to call them because they continue to be successful.
You were about to bring up, you'd like to see them pass a little bit more. So, you know, we're never happy.
We are never happy.
It depends who you're playing against.
I just think as we look forward, you may need to be able to throw. You may be able to score some points through the air. And also when you know, we'll get into this later in the show, but the weakness of the Broncos right now is their secondary. Is this Patriots team set up to take advantage of that? I don't know. We'll see. We've seen them morph over the years. You know, this is more impressive, but we've seen other seasons where in December, early January, Lawrence Maroney did it 1 year where he had 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards. It wasn't as impressive as this, but we've seen times where they've kind of morphed a little bit. This is just the most dramatic of those.
Yeah, and you guys will talk about the Broncos game later in the show, but I agree. I think they have to establish the pass in that game, believe it or not. But going back to the Colts game, other side of the ball, I think Jamie Collins had his coming out party.
Yep. I think he's doing things in terms of versatility that we haven't seen. We've been sold on it. Guys like Adalys Thomas and even Dante Hightower to some degree, he did it in this game. He was rushing the passer with a sack, first career sack. He was making plays at the line of scrimmage, sort of setting the edge, traditional run plays. He was playing zone coverage, and then he was running with Kobe Fleener, their second best pass catcher, their best tight end, down the field man to man. You know, that's what we've been sold on before. He actually did it in that game.
Yeah, so athletic and just really tall, long arms, long legs. I think Andy's been talking about, there's been times where he seems to have gotten in the way, you know, filling some zones in coverage. That's not what he was doing Saturday. He was covering guys Saturday. And I think he's very impressive as an athlete. You hear the other linebackers talk about that. Matter of fact, they joke with him because Collins is telling them all the time how athletic he is and how many different things that he can do. But this is the
kind
of stuff.
Well, you thought he was Aqib Talib on one play.
I did.
That's how, you know, Paul saw the one, thought the other was
a
three.
And right. I thought that was.
I think that says a lot about that. He could possibly think that the coverage was so tight. Oh, that must have been Aqib Talib. It's not Collins.
I mean, you go if you were to say that going into the playoffs, you know, into the AFC Championship, their starting linebackers would be Fletcher, Hightower, and Collins. You'd be like, you're nuts. But this is where we are right now.
And it worked. It worked because that was a sort of a big nickel game where you didn't necessarily have to have three linebackers on the field all the time. You had Fletcher playing more than normal. But let's be honest, Jamie Collins has, since the middle of the year, become a starting caliber linebacker for this team. And Bill talked a lot about it this week. We've given him more, he's done more, he's experienced more, and every time he experiences more, he seems to be better at it.
First thing on tap this week is the Patriots offense, and specifically the passing game. We're going to get into this a little bit later in the show, and Andy's going to talk about the passing game in general, but I think they just have to be a little bit more productive than they have been in recent weeks. We know how well they've been able to run the ball, but the efficiency just hasn't been at Tom Brady-like levels. Close to 50% completion rate. It's going to need to get a little bit better. I'm not saying that they have to throw the ball to win the game. They just have to throw it more efficiently when they do, and that's going to have to start on Sunday. Now, a big part of that might be Shane Vereen. I've been talking about him all year long as a guy like Marshall Faulk, who's a running back that really has wide receiver skills. But quite frankly, the last several weeks since he's come back from the wrist injury, he hasn't been that kind of player. He's had many opportunities to make plays on wheel routes down the sideline. He just doesn't seem to be able to make that catch over his shoulder. We saw him do it in the playoffs last year against Houston, but he's had a lot of chances to do it this year and hasn't been able to. I think that's a matchup that the Patriots can exploit against those Denver linebackers. Shane Vereen could be a big part of that passing game. My last point this week is going to deal with the Patriots special teams, and not just the specialists, but the coverage units. I think they have some heat on them this week because Denver can put some pressure on your coverage units. They have a couple of guys that are capable of making big plays. Last week, we saw Eric Decker nearly take a punt to the house. I don't know how he didn't. He just fell down on his own. Those kinds of plays can be huge in a playoff setting. And they also have Trindon Holliday, who took a kickoff back that was called back for a penalty. These two guys are really capable of changing the game. We know that Denver has had success with Holliday in the past. Two touchdowns against Baltimore last year in the playoffs. The Patriots special teams have been really solid most of the year. They have to stay that way because you can't give Peyton Manning 3 points.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Do you ever get tired of, you know, seeing the butt fumble return for a touchdown?
Yeah. Oh, are they still playing that? I thought that thing got the axe a little while ago.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week, as the Patriots advance to the AFC Championship with a big win over the Colts, here's Jamie Collins with his best game as a Patriot. Alphonso Dennard started the game off with an interception. Just reminded me of that play by Bruschi against the Colts years ago. Finally, look at that form by Brady. I never want to see it again.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Patriots safety Steve Gregory with us this week. Obviously, a very exciting time around here in Foxborough, getting ready for another AFC Championship game. 3 years in a row playing in this game. Do you ever step back and just sort of marvel at the accomplishments and of all the winning that you guys do?
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate, you know, to be in this situation, have this opportunity. The work we've put in all year long, you know, we got to this point last year. To be here again, it's a great opportunity. But we have a lot of work that we're trying to put in this week in order to go out and win a game against a team against the Broncos, who are very good. So,
yeah, absolutely no small task going against a guy like Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Can you sort of talk about some of the challenges mentally? And we know about the calls and all the histrionics at the line of scrimmage. How do you guys deal with that? And How do you stay disciplined to not maybe give away your coverage and keep your coverages disguised?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because, you know, he does a lot at the line. You know, you don't know how much of that is live or dummy calls and things like that. So you can't get too caught up into it. You know, our main thing is focusing on us, understanding what we need to do from a scheme, from a game plan wise to go out there and compete against those guys and make it hard on them. If we can narrow down those things this week, put in a good week of practice, and then go out on Sunday and try to execute the best we can and really try to make it hard on those guys to get open and to make the easy throws and things like that, I think we'll be fine.
I'm curious. I know you obviously spent some time with San Diego, and I'm wondering if maybe you gave a call to, you know, one of your buddies, Eric Weddle or anybody, you know, maybe you gave a call and see, you know, what did you see?
I talked to those guys, you know, you know, I haven't got any inside scoops yet. So, you know, we're just grinding away here this week, trying to study the film, trying to narrow down the things that they do well, and trying to put together a good game plan to go out and play a game that we can win.
I know a lot of excitement, obviously, but I have a very important question. Do you ever get tired of, you know, seeing the butt fumble return for a touchdown?
Yeah. Oh, are they still playing that? I thought that thing got a... Got the axe a little while ago. I haven't seen it recently on TV, but you know, you don't get tired of it when you're on the good side of it.
As we look at this rematch between the Broncos and the Patriots, could be the tale of two games. Looking back to the regular season contest, 20-plus mile-an-hour winds, 22 degrees at Gillette Stadium. That night, Peyton Manning was a guy handing off. Tom Brady was a guy throwing quite a bit. Brady threw for 344 yards, threw the ball 50 times. Manning, just 150 yards. Brandon Bolden was the leading rusher for the Patriots in that game with just 58 yards. Patriots only averaged 3.7 a carry, whereas the Broncos ran for 280 yards, 48 attempts, led by Knowshon Marino and his 224 yards. Probably going to look a little different this Sunday in Denver. Broncos have their weapons back in the passing game, and it's the Patriots that are now the rushing team, 600 yards on the ground the last three games. One of the positions that's undergone a lot of change since the first matchup, tight end. Patriots had Rob Gronkowski in the first meeting. He was a big part of the passing attack that day, 90 yards and a touchdown. Broncos did not have Julius Thomas, but he is back now and healthy, making plays for Peyton Manning. Had 12 touchdowns during the regular season, key part of that passing attack in Denver. But he'll have to deal with Jamie Collins, who's now a key part of the Patriots' pass defense and showed that he can run with an athletic tight end down the field. Should be a good matchup. Finally, we look at the Patriots' defense and how they can handle this high-powered passing attack from Denver. First key, get after Peyton Manning. Don't necessarily have to sack him. He was only sacked 18 times during the season on 650 pass attempts. Hard to get him on the ground, but you can hit him. Patriots only hit him 4 times in the regular season game, but New England's pass rush, coming off a very successful game against Andrew Luck, they hit Luck 10 different times, 3 of them from Jamie Collins, 2 for Jones, 2 for Ninkovich. They had 4 sacks. Pass rush needs to get around Peyton Manning, even if they don't get the sack.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
There is so much pressure on Brady to make chicken salad out of you-know-what that it's unbelievable.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
It's pretty commonly understood that when you're invited into somebody's house, you don't insult the host. Well, somebody should have told Charles Barkley that, because in the last game against the Colts, he was a guest of Robert Kraft in Robert Kraft's luxury suite. Well, after the game, Barkley made his way down into the locker room, where he held court with the media, and went on to tell everyone that when Tom Brady leaves and Bill Belichick leaves, your team's going to suck. Well, you know, that's kind of an insult to Robert Kraft, because while there probably will be a drop-off when a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback leave the team, I think Robert Kraft has an opportunity maybe to get another coach who can keep the Patriots competitive, or another quarterback who can keep the Patriots competitive. So while they may not be as good as this incredible run, they're probably not going to suck, Sir Charles. You better mind your manners.
I've never really been one of those guys that likes to bash Peyton Manning and calling him a choker and all that stuff, but the fact remains that he's just an average 500 quarterback in the postseason, but you'd never know that if you followed along on Twitter in that San Diego game the other night. And he completes a huge third down and 17 play at the end of the game that basically salted away. Huge throw, kudos, hats off, Peyton Manning, you made a big play. And suddenly all these national guys are telling me, I guess I missed all those other plays that he didn't make in previous playoff seasons. He didn't really lose those 10 games, and he didn't really go one and out 8 times. Why don't they say the same thing about Drew Brees? Drew Brees isn't the same guy outside of the dome. He's more than 10 points lower career on away games and home games. And by the way, in the playoffs this year, Brees is just not the same guy. But yet, everybody says that about Manning. No one says it about Brees.
The NFL has been searching for ways over the years to make the Pro Bowl two things, more interesting and more competitive. So this year, they brought in Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders to pick the teams, make it a fantasy game that's unconference. And they brought interest to the game. Deion Sanders last week tweeted out, I'm going to play in the game. I'm going to suit up. And that brings interest to the game. But didn't you want to bring credibility to the game? Didn't you want to make it more competitive? Having Deion Sanders involved with anything is anything but credible.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The passing games will be in full focus in Mile High this weekend. But the question is there more pressure on the Patriots' offense or defense?
I don't know if you know, but the Broncos have a few passing weapons. You know, you might be able to take away Demaryius Thomas. You might be able to take away Eric Decker or even Wes Welker, but you're not going to be able to take away all of them unless the weather helps you. The weather was a big part of the factor here in November. I'm not sure it's going to be that way on Sunday. To me, that secondary has to step up, and they have to contain all of those weapons.
Obviously, the Patriots' secondary has to play well, but I've seen them play well. I've seen all of them make plays. I've seen the pass rush, Ninkovich and Jones, make plays. I think this passing game needs to keep up with Manning and those targets. Can they do it? I don't know. Do they have the bodies to do it? I don't know. I've never seen them do it. The only time this passing game was good and productive and high effectiveness was in the middle of the year with Rob Gronkowski. Who's the number two receiver? I don't know. It's probably Danny Amendola, right? But he doesn't make a lot of plays. I don't know if they have the ability to march the ball up and down the field through the air against a team whose weakness right now is what on defense? Secondary. They lost their number one corner. That's what you should be targeting, but do you have the weapons to target it?
See, I agree with everything you just said, and that's the reason why I think there's more pressure on the secondary. Those guys are out there. They're about as healthy as they've been. You know, that group, you have Tlaib, you have Dennard, you have Logan Ryan, Arrington. The safeties are out there, Gregory and McCourty. They have the ability to play well and to contain, I'm not going to say shut down, but contain that group. And they have to, because I don't think they have the weapons to keep up on the other side.
No one expects them to shut them down. That's the thing they have on their side.
I know, but you can't let them have 40,
is my point. Everybody expects Brady and company to score points. Oh, they're going to score some points. They got some playmakers. Well, how are they going to do that?
Without a passing game, they're not going to be able to do it.
Exactly, but everybody doesn't look at the details and say, well, they haven't thrown the ball all that well for the last month. They don't have any receivers other than Edelman. From afar, people just say, well, Patriots will keep up. They'll be able to get into a shootout. No, they won't. They don't have the weapons to get in a shootout. Somebody has to step up and make plays that they're not capable of, and I have my doubts about doing that. There is so much pressure on Brady to make chicken salad out of you-know-what that it's unbelievable.
How do you have a high-powered
pass? You run the ball. That's what they scored 43 running the ball last week.
Really? Do you really think they're going to run the ball well enough to score 43 points against the Broncos?
Maybe.
You don't.
But I still think that if you don't get that kind of production, and I agree, you're not going to get that kind of production, you need to find a way to keep the game manageable. You can't let Manning throw the ball for 350-plus yards and 4 touchdowns to all his different toys. You can't let them dominate the game through the air. If they want to run the football, let them run the football like the last time, and then hopefully you shorten the game a little bit and you keep the possessions down and you keep the score a little bit down. But that secondary cannot let Peyton Manning just pick them apart and dictate the game.
But they're all competitive athletes, so that's not pressure. They are guys that know their job and they can do it. You know what pressure is? It's with Tom Brady taking the field and not knowing who his second, third, fourth, or fifth target is going to be. Tom, go get in a shootout. With what? I don't have any bullets in the gun. He's got a knife here, and it's a gunfight.
Yeah, see, I think for that reason, that's not pressure. I think that who's going to expect him to go out and light it up?
Everybody, because he's Tom Brady, he's supposed to beat Peyton Manning, he's supposed to score a lot of points, and he's supposed to be the best player on the field, and yet he doesn't have a ton to work with.
If he's throwing passes to those guys and he's not able to light it up, I don't think anybody's going to say that. But I'll tell you
right now,
if Peyton Manning lights it up, the so-called choker in a big game, people are going to point to that secondary and say, you guys were healthy, why did you let Peyton Manning do that to you when he hasn't been able to do it to anybody else in the playoffs?
They'll just point to the fact that it's the greatest offense in the history of the game.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
Okay, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions that you sent to us. And we'll start with Alonzo Oviedo, who's all fired up. He says, why the hell isn't Austin Colley getting more reps? Every time he gets in, he always catches the ball and he always converts first downs. He has great hands and he can help us a lot more. What are your thoughts?
Hell if I know. No, really, I think he deserves more shots. I'm pointing to this week. They have no other weapons other than Edelman. Amendola chips in occasionally, but I still think he's limited with the groin. Austin Colley, if he's going to be on your roster, he's a veteran guy. I think Brady has developed a little bit of a rapport with him. It's in limited chances. I think he's going to have a breakout week against the Broncos.
Austin Colley.
If it's one thing I hear in the streets, Fred, it's more Colley. That's what everybody's talking about.
No, it's more options at receiver.
I think at the very least, you put a Colts jersey on Colley, have him on the sideline, and maybe Manning throws it to him in mistake. All right, this next one comes from MTD in New London, Connecticut. And he says, I know the Brady Manning showdown stories are a bit overdone, but he's wondering what we think each of them, how they will go out. Will they go out kicking and screaming like a Brett Favre, or will they, you know, do it gracefully?
Well, I think both of them will be a lot more graceful than Brett Favre. I mean, I think we can all agree. Once these two guys decide that enough is enough, I don't think you're going to get the soap opera of, is he coming back? Is he done? You know, who's calling him to come back out of retirement? I don't think that's in their DNA. That said, I think they're both going to go out sort of kicking and screaming in terms of they're going to have to be done before they call it quits, because I think they both love the game. They love to prepare. They still love all the aspects about game planning and playing football. I think they're very much ready to continue to play. I don't know how long they're going to be able to do it physically, especially Manning with the neck thing. He's going to have that you know, that checkup to make sure he gets cleared to continue his career. I think they want to keep playing for several more years. And let's face it, they're both still highly productive. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I still think, you know, we've already seen Manning play for a second team. I still think there's an outside shot you could see Brady play for a second team.
I could see Manning being a coach, not Brady, though.
Why?
I don't think Brady is a coach type. I think Manning might be.
I think Manning could run that clinic, that camp that he has, and maybe just stick to that.
I think Brady could do anything he wanted.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I think he's capable of anything.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for your questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.